Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? And get your vaccine.
And so I went to human resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We have breaking news this morning. Per our last conversation on Thursday, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City former cast member Jenny Wen has been fired from the show as of about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
Bravo listened to our episode and they heard that it was the only way forward.
Only path forward. The statement reads, Bravo has ceased filming with Jenny Wen and she will no longer be a cast member of the Real Housewives of New York City. We recognize we failed to take appropriate action on her offensive once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. Moving forward, we will work to improve our processes to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions, which to me suggests they knew about this before last week, right?
That sounds to me like they've definitely known for a while.
Maybe somebody knew, but they didn't think it was that serious.
That person's dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know what world they were living in, if they've ever gone online.
That person
before.
Needs to get fired too.
Yeah. The posts were really, really bad. So
yeah. And we were just talking about they weren't from like, I mean, Millie, you said, you know, this is a universe and Jenny could not, if I were black and a cast member of Atlanta or Potomac, I would not want to be around her. You could not make me be around her for work. And it was just, in no world was it going to work out.
Well, I think Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac wrote kind of a confusing, but like basically like,
interesting,
like a statement yesterday or something or earlier this morning that was like, I know what it's like to have your words taken out of context and there needs to be growing and stuff, but it's also like she doesn't need this platform to do it and she doesn't need this platform to like change or grow. Like she can learn, she can do all the education and all that shit off camera and Bravo doesn't need
100%.
To be paying for it. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
I agree with that too, because it's like, I do feel like people do like always come to it where people say things along the lines of, you know, well, where is the redemption? And what if, isn't this an opportunity for her to grow? And it's like, yes. And she's she can be redeemed and she can grow, but she doesn't get to do it on TV anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a contrast from like some of our lawmakers where it's like, you can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can say the nastiest Holocaust denial. You can say all of that. That is your right in this country. But I don't want to pay your salary with my tax dollars. You don't get to be, well, apparently you do get to be a member of Congress.
Well,
but at this point,
Republican. But also it's like, well, you know, it's something we talk about all the time where it's like, yeah, you can be the person that says whatever you want and does whatever, or you can be the person that makes money. And you can be, and like, you can be that person. Yeah, you have, she, no one's saying that she can't post that crazy shit on Facebook. True. But you can't post that crazy shit on Facebook and be on Sunday every, on Bravo every Sunday at a pool house in Zion.
The only person who can't post whatever they want on Instagram is Millie Tamaras.
Which is the real issue. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah. I was able to link up with somebody who works there and they said they filed an internal report.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But
thank
I don't
you, Amanda,
oh, yes,
for
thank
being...
you. Thank you very much, the person that reached out, the Meta employee that is trying to solve this for us. But gosh, Millie, a week without Instagram.
It's been, you know, and I'm not even someone who would have thought myself to like Instagram or enjoy, you know, I'm not somebody who posts a lot of posts all the, but then yeah, the stories, I was like, oh, I'm listening to this song and I feel like I would have loved to share what song I'm listening to or I had a show the other day.
I love your stories.
Thank you.
Your stories really add value to my Instagram experience.
Yeah.
Thank you. Break it up from the other monotony. Yeah. No, somebody was like, oh, did you still have your show today? And I'm like, yeah, it's over. And they're like, damn, I was going to come.
Oh, but see,
like,
that's so fucked up.
People do look at it to like, oh, what is she, you know, so it fucking sucks.
Well, it is kind of, especially for a comedian or anyone who's like a performer, it's kind of like shutting down your personal website. Because for me, I do, like, I know when I go on other podcasts or when I'm trying to promote anything, most of the time I give my Instagram and I say, anything you need to know about me, you're going to find it on my Instagram. Yeah. So, I mean, it is actually a big deal for Lily to have her Instagram shut down.
I think it's an injustice. It shows you how much control these tech companies have over entire industries and livelihoods. I mean, since we're talking about, let's look at, like, Instagram has recently shifted. It wants to be TikTok. So now it's really prioritizing Reels. Like, you might look at your Instagram feed and you're only seeing Reels. Mm-hmm. And maybe you love that, which is fine. But for the past couple of years, Instagram has been about static posts. So you have built a business model over creating static images to share information. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly Instagram is like, no. You all have to be cute little short form video performers.
Yeah.
And it just entirely, it can collapse entire industries. And like, if you can't access your platforms, you can't access income. It's so fucked up.
It's literally fucked up. And also, like, yeah, it's just Twitter does not work the same way where I can be like, I'm having a show later or I'm doing this. Like, it's just not that platform.
And it's just also, not where you built the platform, yeah.
I almost was going to screenshot it because when I tried to log in the other day, it's like, your account's been disabled. You can file an appeal. I did the appeal thing. But there was a whole, like, section about eating disorders on the Instagram, like, help platform, like, eating disorders and you. And, like, basically, remember a few months ago when they were talking about, like, they're going to regulate, like, all this shit for teens. Like, it's like this one fucking page, like, in the back of the where you go when you have an appeal about something, you can get information about eating disorders, I guess.
Yeah, every teen's favorite part of Instagram.
Exactly.
Buried deep in the help page.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. What the fuck? Like,
I feel this takes us into our next conversation. I mean, our opener is, famously where C-SPAN meets the group chat. But for the top of the show, it's just going to be the group chat, fam, because, every now and then on the podcast, we take a moment to sort of zoom out from the day-to-day pandemic updates, the vaccination rates, the mask mandates, the fighting over the mask mandates, the economic recovery reports, to just sort of like stew and how much this sucks. And I am having a very hard time resisting that this week, despite all of my privileges. The country just, it feels like it's in a collective post-holiday. I called it an extra spicy seasonal depression. The sense of renewal that comes with the new year, it's gone. I feel like it was here for a couple days, and it just feels especially tenuous this year. There are signs that the Omicron wave is waning, but all month, everybody's been sick. Millie, you've been sick. At least you've had to isolate and you've had friends be sick. Your shows have been impacted. There's been workplace shortages everywhere. There's been supply chain issues, which just like causes delays and makes us impatient and not our best selves with each other, like when we need each other to be our best. Our listeners are probably like, Amanda, you should have just scheduled therapy for this hour. But
well, I just got out of therapy.
You can do both.
Good. Good. It's just, I don't know. I feel like this will be, maybe, like, we don't do it that often, but sometimes it's like, wow, it's really been almost 2 years of this. And I don't know. I just know I've been feeling lately like my hope for a normal, I don't really have it anymore. And it's like I'm kind of like mourning it and grieving it in a way that I've been procrastinating about. I don't know. What do you guys think it is that's been really challenging about this month?
I feel like this pandemic winter hit different than the last one. The last one was very hard, but we kind of knew, I think, going into it.
True.
That we were headed into pandemic winter. And so it was like, it was a depression that was kind of prepared for in a way. And I think all the jerking around of Omicron and the new rules and the returning to old rules and the mandates and the removal of the mandates and the this and the that, it just has made this situation. It's like every time you feel like you get your footing on it, it changes out from under you again. And so I think that is why this pandemic winter feels different and terrible in its own special way.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like last winter also, I mean, people were just starting to get vaccinated, but like also last winter, like, there was a sense of still feeling lucky to be alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas it's like, I know I can't go anywhere and everybody is doing everything they can. Like, well, that was still Trump. But I guess now it's like we've had this incredible technological advance. We did all the things that we were supposed to do. And we're still in this very like isolated, upsetting position. And I know I personally have like never, I've just procrastinated adapting my life to just always being at home and not going out much. I just sort of have been like, this will be over eventually. And I haven't really worked into my routine things that alleviate.
I'm a Taurus. So I'm astrologically inclined to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
But
that is not me at all, Amanda. No. So I totally feel that. I feel like, you know, the pandemic winter last year, it was difficult and it was like severe, but it also, there was this glimmer of hope that, you know, oh, when Biden's president or like all this stuff and everyone's going to get vaccinated.
Yeah, now that he's here.
And this is just like, now he's here. We've seen so much obstruction. It seems like Republicans are getting away with everything they've ever, even more than what they wanted than with when Trump was, you know, like the Roe v. Wade thing is like, they've been working for that for 40 years. And, you know, the filibuster stuff is so fucking depressing. And yeah, like, I feel like it's important. I know it's like tough because like we don't want to be bleak, but I think it's important to like make space for that and to say like, it's okay that we feel this way. If we didn't feel this way, we would not be in touch with reality. Taking space, sitting in it, and then also just like being proactive about things that refresh me. And, you know, that's what I realized too, is that like, oh, you know what? Maybe I just need to like spend all day in a fucking spa and just unplug. And like, you know what? This like burnt outness is usually reserved for like July or for me.
Exactly. Like, it's scary.
Like January 20 something. So I'm like, I'm booking a vacation. And, you know, we're going to have fun and, you know, just trying to get back those things and just doing our best. I think that's all we can do. That's all
I painted a wall last night that I kind of didn't intend to paint, but I said, I
a solid color
wall.
Or did you just like do a,
we painted an additional part of my living room that had not been painted, but I painted it the same color as the rest of my living room. It took 25 minutes, but it was a good project for healing.
Yes, totally. I mean, yeah, as you were saying, Millie, I feel like especially like because our jobs also relate to the news and stuff, it's like we're not getting any complete cycles where we have success in a beginning, a middle, of an end. We keep cycling through the voting rights bill. We talked about this Ali yesterday, the voting rights bill, the Build Back Better, and we're not ever ending up with anything like satisfying. We're not getting any resolutions and we just keep going through these cycles. We're not getting any satisfying resolutions with like the pandemic. Like I think you need resolutions,
but what about
circle moments in life? I know
the bipartisan infrastructure bill.
I guess, I don't know, for some reason my serotonin is like meh.
Yeah, it's not.
It is a big deal, and I hate to like downplay that, but you know, these other things like suck up all the energy. But yeah, I think like you said, Millie, it is important to make space for it because, you know, I have friends and people I know who ask me like, how do you do that every day? How do you do four times a week? You do like a 30 to 40 minute show on the news. It's really, really hard. It's extremely hard. It is not easy and it gets very hard. I'm happy to do it. But like anybody who seems like this is not affecting them and they are somehow able to keep their shit together is definitely like screaming on the inside.
I just remember Akila, who's a friend of mine, like friend of Elise's too, when she was doing What a Day pod for Crooked Media, she constantly talked about how being so in touch with the news, seeing COVID months before, you know, like just being updated on that, like just really like was difficult for her and for her mental health. So like I gotta remember, because like it feels like I'm cheating or something because I'm not a journalist, you know, like professionally or anything. But it's just like, yeah, but I do have to stay somewhat in touch with the news. I have to be on social media, and it's just like, fucking fuck, it's bleak. Sometimes
I know. Well, that's why we do a Pop Culture Thursdays.
Pop Culture Thursdays is like the crowning achievement. I am looking ahead in our outline, and I do love what we are going to talk about. I got a serotonin boost from this.
Okay, exactly. But I just gotta also mention that the Pop Culture Thursdays are that this person said a racial slur.
That is true. That is true. Damn.
We have some levity today. Jenny Nguyen calling for the...
No, it's lighter because it's a celebrity that did it and not like our actual friends, president. Or the governor of Texas.
Yeah, people just were like, oh, this sounds like a fun pop culture podcast, and I listen to some Thursday because I already started for this Thursday. Like, Peter Dinklage is rightfully mad about Snow White because he's like, do we really need to have a fairy tale with seven dwarves? That's true. Taylor Swift is talking to the president of Chile. So to get to something that did give our neurotransmitters a little punch up last night, which you probably expected us to talk about right off the top instead of getting into our deep emotions, was... I know, people are like, they're going to do the son of a bitch right at the beginning. And we're like, well... But as we said, you have to make space. You got to make space. But of course,
exactly.
Something that gave our neurotransmitters the punch up that they needed last night was President Biden calling Peter Ducey of Fox News a stupid son of a bitch. After reporters were ushered out of a brief presidential appearance in the East Room yesterday, Fox News' Peter Ducey shouted Biden a question about inflation, specifically asked if Biden worried inflation would hurt Democrats' midterm chances. And Biden said in response, he said, I don't have the clip of it because we've all heard it a bunch of times, but he made like a funny joke. He was like, oh, yeah, sure, more inflation. What an asset it would be. And then he said, stupid son of a bitch, right into the microphone. Now, when I saw this happen immediately after, I was a little like, oh, no. I didn't know how the reaction, if it would be favorable towards Joe Biden or not favorable, but I gotta say, extremely favorable. People seem to love this from him.
Literally. Well, it's so funny because it reminded me of Obama era Joe Biden, because that's how Joe Biden like came into my understanding.
It's a big
really
fucking
was,
deal.
It's a big fucking deal in the hot mic.
Yeah.
And so... It really reminded me of that version of Joe Biden, which I think was a version of Joe Biden that people actually did really like. And it's just so funny to, like, I feel like his current, like, the way we see him now is so different than the, like, wily Uncle Joe Vice President Biden that we had for 8 years. Like, I remember I used to love the Onion's Joe Biden coverage during under Obama. Like, they always characterized him as, like, like a criminal who was on the run. Like, I remember one headline that I always remember was Joe Biden says we're better off than we were 4 years ago, but nothing beats the summer of 69. Was so perfect. And it was like, it's like how Leslie Knope is like in love with Joe Biden as a character trait in Parks and Rec. And it, I think the reason it resonated right with people is that that is what people actually like from him, are like hot mic moments where he's caught swearing.
Totally.
And not the like no malarkey thing, which is a watered down fake version of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes people are sons of bitches, or stupid sons of bitches. And you know what? Like, people were kind of annoyed that he apologized. I was a little bit like,
okay, so it is unclear. He did not say sorry, apparently. Apparently, let's listen to the clip. As of this morning, I wrote in our outline that Biden apologized. That's what I read. But if you listen to the full, I don't know, Fox News might be trying to not give Joe Biden credit for apologizing. But last night, Ducey went on Sean Hannity and explained what happened when Biden called him about an hour after that moment. Let's listen to a clip.
Within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, it's nothing personal, pal. And we went back and forth and we were talking about just kind of moving forward. And I made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, you've got to. And that's a quote from the president, so I'll keep doing it.
All right, I want to be your negotiator here. And I would like to negotiate a 20-minute sit-down with you and Biden, one-on-one. I think that would be, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe, in forgiveness. Okay, did he apologize?
He cleared the air, and I appreciated it. We had a nice call.
That's not an answer. Did he apologize? That doesn't sound like an apology.
He said, it's nothing personal, pal. Oh, and I told him that I appreciated him reaching out. Hey, Sean.
What do we think?
I don't think that the words I'm sorry were said, but it seems like Peter Doocy's okay.
Listen.
Yeah, I kind of love if he didn't apologize.
I do love that. It's nothing personal, pal, is funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that this is actually the best approach because Sean Hannity's trying to sensation. You can hear Sean Hannity's trying to sensationalize it and be like, he didn't this or this and that, or we need to like trying to make it a bigger deal. And even Peter was just like, hey, man, like, it's chill. Like, and it's true what you were saying earlier, Amanda, like Trump would never do this. Like, and even Peter was, I think Peter acknowledged like, hey, you know, I have to ask questions that are different, but I think he means stupid. Like, he's like, you know, I'm always going to ask stupid questions. And then Biden's like, you have to. It's fine. You know, like.
Oh, that's such a good read, Millie. That's so true. Like, that's so true. Like, the you have to. I mean, Doocy probably maybe even did take that as a like, oh, yes, he knows that he recognizes my journalistic responsibility. But Joe Biden, you're so right. Definitely meant like you have to do that because you're a stupid son of a bitch.
Well, yeah.
But and you also, work for a stupidsonofabitch.com.
Yeah, exactly. Trump would never like, you know how fucking mean he was to so many journalists, and he would never call and apologize and like clear the or just be like, no, hey, it's not personal. I'm sorry. Like,
he targeted female journalists of color multiple times, called them idiots.
Disabled like, journalists before he even got elected.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, it is very funny to, it's one of those things where it's like, not a real controversy when you consider where we're coming from, because like, literally, Trump would stand in front of a working helicopter and be like, fuck all of you, and then like get onto the helicopter. Like, you should be killed, and then get onto a helicopter.
And then they'd be like, you want to say sorry? Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, and then he would be like, under no circumstances will I ever apologize. Like, so it's just funny to even consider like that Joe Biden saying this would be.
Listen, sometimes when they go low, we have to go. We have to go low. We have to go low.
And you know
when
what?
When they go low, mm-hmm. we go middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, middle. That's it. I don't think we should go high because sometimes no. I'm like, Michelle Obama, sorry, dog. I don't want to go high. If someone calls me a slur or something, I'm not going to be like, it's okay. No. But you know, it'd be like, hey, I probably shouldn't, whatever. Like, it's not personal.
You'll go middle.
If you, yeah, it's not
what
personal.
What he shouldn't have done is say it on a hot mic. Like, I don't think he regrets saying it. I think to me, what is very satisfying about it is especially watching Joe Biden try to negotiate in good faith with actual Republicans. You know, I do sometimes forget that he's a Democrat just because we're different types of Democrats and he's not as his agenda is definitely pretty far to the left, but he doesn't present as I guess it was just very satisfying to me that he actually does think that. That he does think Fox News is Peter Doocy is a stupid son of a bitch. That like I think that that's nice. That I do because otherwise I would have assumed maybe that he wasn't as irritated by him or Fox News or Republicans. But this was just kind of a tell from Joe Biden that I personally really appreciated.
Yes, I agree.
I think something that Biden posted that like a comedian that I liked kind of interpreted was like Biden was like, I just didn't expect that they were going to work so hard to obstruct me, like, you know, Republicans and other Democrats. And somebody wrote like, yeah, it's like, quote, like, I'm white. Why are they doing this? Like, I expect this from Obama, but not from me. And it's just like, yeah, like it is for,
right.
It is hard to remember that, like, yeah, he is like a Democrat and he does like, he really thought that people were going to go in good faith and work shit out. And that a lot of the shit that, you know, Obama faced was because he was black, but it was like, no, these people are just evil and they don't care about progress at all in this country.
Yeah. Or like it is, but also we're far enough in the future now that people also recognize that you are working in service of potentially maybe helping black people. And so like, you're going to get the, Yeah, like that, like the racism has evolved now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, not to get depressing again, but like the people Kyle Rittenhouse killed were white, and they don't talk about that at all, because once you help black people or whatever, that's
no, they weren't like upholding whiteness, so they're not. They're not part of this. They're not part of this at all. A lot of people also were just like, I mean, even sometimes, you know, people on the left can fall into the like sleepy Joe, but I saw a lot of like, this is a solid joke. Like, it was a pretty good joke. Yeah. It was really quick. Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Yeah, I think it, I honestly think it's the most likable, best Joe moment we've gotten in a while. Like, I actually feel like this is maybe the best news cycle he's had.
More of this. More, like I said, I was nervous. I was monitoring comments on our post last night because I just out of curiosity, and if there was anything, you know, vicious, I was gonna remove it, or hateful. But people were just like, "This is the Joe I've been missing." So yeah, great, bring it on, Joe.
I'm sure no one likes inflation. Like,
right.
Exactly. Question. Well, Fox News.
You stupid son of a bitch.
This is amazing. I mean, obviously, that will in the next week or so be added to our intro. Obviously, we're going to do our refreshed
intro. We
got to
put it in. Yeah. You stupid son of a bitch.
Speaking of stupid son of a bitches, easiest segue ever. We got to talk about Miss Sarah Palin.
Ooh.
Our girl traveled from Alaska all the way to New York City this week ahead of her
big... I can't believe she's still allowed on a plane.
Right? Exactly.
I can't believe she hasn't gotten her ass on a no-fly list yet.
This whole story is actually a case for vaccine mandates to fly, for sure.
I know. Yeah. Jesus.
So she came to New York City because she has a big libel lawsuit against the New York Times. And we're going to get into details on that in a second. Yesterday, she said she tested positive for COVID. Palin is proudly unvaccinated, has already had COVID once last year, and says she would get the jab over her dead body, and has also said her children are not vaccinated. So it's confusing why she was allowed to dine at an Upper East Side eatery a few days ago.
Tim Tam and Tigaroo and
her kids' name are like Bristol and
Brick-a-Brack
and all that shit. It's if there's anyone unvaccinated, it's fucking Trip and Bristol.
Yeah, if you ever come across a Trip, I would definitely inquire about their vaccination status for sure. And Sarah Palin, she's a notable celebrity. Like, most people would recognize her in New York. So it's confusing why she was allowed to just sort of walk right in to a New York City restaurant. Here in New York, they are required to check ID cards for indoor dining. I would say about 95% of the time mine is checked, but not 100%. Do you guys find it's 100%?
I'm mostly checked. I'm trying to think the last time I went into one and they didn't actually look for it.
Well,
they really have been looking.
I would say, like, you're right, Amanda. Like, I would say 90% or like 85% they check. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, like, well, if I'm a regular at places, they're not going to check or something like that. But,
right.
It's kind of like, I could see the attitude of someone being like, oh, well, you can't go anywhere in New York if you're not vaccinated. So do I really have to stop what I'm doing in a busy time and check every single person?
Yes. And I think that's important with this. Yeah. I mean, the restaurant. So the manager of the restaurant, I've never been here. It's called Elio's. It's on 84th and 2nd, I think. It's apparently like there are these little Italian restaurants on the Upper East Side. Like, it's like that restaurant in Sex and the City early season where Big would take Carrie, I feel like. It's just sort of sceney. Like, we're old people. It's like a social club for old people, that type of thing. And I guess she was old enough. So the manager of the restaurant said they weren't working that night, the manager, but suspected Palin came in with a regular who the staff knows is vaccinated and must have slipped through the cracks. The manager called this a, quote, unfortunate oversight and said they were most concerned with making sure the staff is safe moving forward and other diners that night are notified. The New York City government said, quote, Miss Palin needs to respect small business workers and follow the rules just like everybody else, which I think is important here. Like you said, this is Sarah Palin's fault. This is sick 100%. That she would just walk into a place she knows she's not allowed for health reasons.
That's what I'm saying is, like, again, it's, I mean, you know, calling Republicans hypocrites is like you find a million ways to do it a day. But, like, you're going to sit here and be like, businesses are hurting. I love small businesses. And then you're going to publicly get a small business in trouble. Because you know what? Maybe those people knew Sarah Palin was unvaccinated. Maybe not. But if I'm a hostess at a restaurant and Sarah Palin comes in, I don't want to fucking deal with kicking her out. Totally. Like, if you're on your second shift and you have, like, who knows how exhausted that person is? And, like, she basically put it on hourly workers to either expose themselves to COVID or kick Sarah Palin out of your restaurant and become the focal point of some huge, crazy thing.
Right, you're right. It's not just like, oh, she broke the rules because she's not allowed to be there. Ma'am, you're not allowed to be there because you could be carrying a deadly infectious disease, which you were. Like, it's not, it's not like in a, like a random, oh, you just didn't check. Like, there's a reason you cannot be in the room with other people.
Yeah, and she knows that she can't be there.
Yeah, also, I would just say that, like, Sarah Palin, for all intents and purposes, like, she was running in 2008, 2009, like, or 2007, 2008. Like, she's hasn't been really relevant for a long time. So I wouldn't blame an employee of a restaurant for, like, not see, like, knowing, looking at her.
True.
I'm sorry. Absolutely. I'm just thinking, like, she looks like any other white.
She should have been masked
other,
on her way in as well.
Exactly. She, like,
yeah, whatever.
She
just it might have seemed like 21-year-old girl.
21-year-old girl, and you see this white woman who's older come in with a regular. You're not going to say, you know, like, I don't know. I don't even think that they knew that
you're
she was
unvaccinated.
You're
making a calculation of if getting in a fight with this woman is worth your time when, you know, with all of these work shortages, you're probably got two other tables yelling at you.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably haven't been tipped well all night. You're trying to protect yourself. Like, of course, I can totally see how this happens. Like any other, I saw a funny tweet that a guy went and his mom didn't recognize her. His mom thought it was Tina Fey.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's really funny.
And Tina Fey lives on the Upper East Side or something. She
lives
upper West Side. But so I'm just saying that, like, I don't even think it was. I think that these people just didn't know who she was, and they probably assumed that this woman was vaccinated because, you know, why would you go into a restaurant in New York if you're not?
Of course.
It's also so funny to me and so sad to be like, oh my God, I served Tina Fey tonight. And then it's like, no, bitch, you served Sarah Palin and she had COVID.
Like, and you should probably go get tested.
That is the biggest, like excitement to fall I could possibly imagine.
I mean, also, like, I didn't know that she was in New York City because of her libel case. Like, what a dumb bitch.
And it's postponed, which is the best part, because you know she doesn't like it here. Maybe she does, and she just acts
they
like she doesn't. But now
here.
She's stuck
here. Like
here. I'm sorry. They all love it here in New York.
I mean, she found a insider at an Upper East Side establishment. But that's such a good point. It's like when somebody's walking in, you don't know if it's, you know, some woman who is with somebody else who just forgot to show you her app, or if it's a famously anti-vaccine, anti-science former vice presidential candidate. Because, like, you're right, we're old. That was in 2008. 21-year-olds, they might not, like, recognize her now.
Yeah. No. Keke Palmer didn't know who Dick Cheney was, famously.
Exactly.
This is kind of the type of restaurant, though, where, and I'm completely speculating, where it's like, it feels like the kind of place where, like, the servers, it's a career. Like, it's,
they
are experienced, they might be on the older side, but it doesn't matter.
But
as we've
Sarah
said,
Palin
hasn't not
been
holding
rid of them for a while.
Precisely.
But can I just say, my first ever protest, like, in person, because I was the president of Activist Collective in college, and one of the first protests was going to a Sarah Palin, like, speaking event rally thing and protesting outside of it in Orange County, California. And
wow.
It was a crazy time, formative experience.
really?
I saw her.
And here we are.
And here we are. Yeah, we were all fucking, because that was, like, it's so crazy. Everyone was so aghast about her, and, like, now she's, like, even a little bit more
tamer
than a lower, you know, MJ.
That's so true.
Teens. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
full circle moment. So what is she even here for? She is here for a libel lawsuit against the New York Times. The judge postponed this for February 3rd because Palin tested positive 3 times. Her team was like, no, she can do it.
Jesus Christ.
She is so stupid.
Like, she's very... very COVID positive.
She very much
but
has
they
COVID.
Were like,
okay.
She can do it. She's here. She really, like, my impression
no,
was not
she
even
can do
like.
Dumbass. And she can't
That's
leave.
Not how it works. That's not how it works, sir. Not, I don't know if in Alaska you just like, which is probably has a super fancy lawyer anyway, but jury selection was supposed to begin this week. And she was also expected to give testimony. Why is this happening in the first place? In 2017, the New York Times published an editorial that included a link between Sarah Palin's political rhetoric in some of her political mailers and the shooting that wounded Gabby Giffords in Arizona and killed six others. It was in the context of that shooting of GOP lawmakers at that Virginia baseball game. So it was like a it was a conversation about gun violence, political rhetoric. And the op-ed made a false link between Palin's rhetoric and what led to the shooting in Arizona. That information was added by the piece's editor, which is just, as a writer, infuriating that somebody would add something so problematic to your work.
Oh my God, that is so crazy.
Plus, James Bennett was, he resigned, he's the guy that resigned from the Times last year because he let Tom Cotton publish that op-ed that glorified the police state and encouraged violence against protesters. So this was not, this op-ed editor ultimately, his judgment was ultimately questioned in a way where he no longer even works there. Anyway, this was retracted the next day. This is a catastrophic journalistic error, but is it illegal? It is famously difficult to win defamation lawsuits against the press, or even for it to get as far as it has. The Times hasn't lost a case like this in 50 years. As you can imagine, just the volume of stuff that they publish, they're getting this a lot. The plaintiff has to prove that the publisher of the damaging report must have acted with, quote, actual malice by either knowing the information was false or by displaying reckless disregard for the truth. So Palin and her supporters, this isn't just about Sarah Palin. This sort of goes back to this overall right-wing conspiracy that the media is like viciously biased against them. And she's definitely hoping that she can, with this case, maybe if she gets some sort of victory or gets a lot of attention around it, that can play into their narrative that the media is not an unbiased, that every source of news, everything is fake. The failing New York Times cannot be trusted. But the outcome of that is now delayed because she wouldn't get vaccinated.
Well,
and got COVID.
And got COVID.
Not only did she not get vaccinated, but she didn't self-isolate or do anything that one would need to do to make to be safe before. Like
she's probably not. She's probably maskless in Bloomingdale's right now.
I mean, listen, keep an eye out on these streets for Sarah, because she's not.
I've never felt
you gotta protect
safer.
Yourself from her because she is not gonna protect you.
I've never
from
felt
her,
safer so, in Bushwick so. Than I have.
Yeah, come to Bed-Stuy, Sarah Palin.
Yeah, come meet Eric Adams at his quote-unquote apartment.
No, she's from Alaska, come to Eric but Adams she's house. From Alaska, but Bed-Stuy is too far out for her.
She would just take a small plane to Bed-Stuy like they do in Alaska when shit is too far. They take small planes everywhere. God, remember when she said she could see Russia from her house and that was her foreign
mm-hmm.
policy?
God bless it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God bless
yeah.
it.
Well, now she's probably can only see Central Park from her hotel room.
Amanda.
I'm just, the fact that this delays her hearing is just incredible. I mean, it probably sucks for the people that, I mean, imagine you get a jury summons and you're like, oh, so annoying, I gotta take the day off. And then you go and they're like, oh, actually you can leave because this involved Sarah Palin who got COVID from being unvaxxed and now it's delayed. Oh, it just, it's a.
I hope that Sarah Palin's hotel is directly across from the theater that's playing the Hugh Jackman Sutton Foster Music Man and she can just stare at it and think about how much that would be so her jam and she can't go because she's not vaccinated and she has COVID and she's so dumb and she could probably get tickets and see it and it's probably really good but she can't go.
And that's from what Elise, I wish for that Sarah is Palin. The sickest, most vicious burn you could ever get from
I
Elise
wish
Morales.
Musical theater envy upon her. I wish for her to be steps from Hugh Jackman Music Man, but
well,
not
on that
be
note,
able to see it.
Before, I meant to do this in the earlier segment, but I thought we could end with recommendations of things that have maybe made this pandemic, second pandemic January, a little, maybe a little easier, a little more bearable. What have you guys been, how have you been getting through it? Anything in particular you want to recommend?
I just watched that new scary series on Netflix, Archive
81. Someone has to do
scary.
I know someone has to do content about it and is scared to do it. So,
it is scary. It is scary. And the end of the day, it's always good to keep in mind, as bad as things get, you don't live in a satanic ghost apartment.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been lucky enough yet, but that's so funny.
You haven't been chosen by Satan to live
Wait,
in a
my,
Satan
my
apartment.
Recommendation, my recommendation involves ghosts too, but I think in a totally different way. There's this British mm-hmm. show called Ghosts, and I just read that there's an American adaptation that had a first season two that's apparently very different. So I'm going to recommend, I haven't seen that, so I'm going to recommend the British one. I mean, as always, it's very cozy, the British version. It's called Ghosts. You can watch it on HBO Max. There are three seasons. It is about a couple that move into, like, I think one of their family's estate. and it is inhabited by like half a dozen ghosts who all have different personalities and like lives. And of course, they all, you know, become like this very loving family, and there are all these shenanigans, and it's just very like lovely and cozy, and everyone likes each other and is nice to each other, and it's very sweet. What's yours, Millie?
You know, again, I'm gonna have to do Station 11. I started. Yeah, I really liked it. I just bought the book, but that really made me think of art and creating in a whole different way, and that was great. So that's kind of my recommendation. Obviously, we got to talk about Cheer. Not today, but we do have to talk about Cheer, Amanda, yes. Because Elise said that Netflix ruined these people's lives. I don't know.
Oh, God. We do have to talk about Cheer.
I watched Don't Look Up. Not good.
No. That is our show. We will be back, of course, to talk about all those subjects, and hopefully not with like a side of racial animosity. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.